Hey, I'm Chuck Mingo. I'm one of the teachers here at Crossroads. And you know what? First things first, before we go any further, moms, where you at? Where you at, moms? Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Beautiful day. Got a chance to talk to my mom this morning, give her some love. Just for curiosity's sake, is there any mom who's here for the first time at Crossroads? First time moms coming maybe with a son or a daughter who's been telling you about this place that's really been challenging them spiritually, really just a place where they've been growing and, you know, finding out how to apply the Bible to their lives. And man, if you're here for the first time and you just experienced what we all experienced, you're like, okay, wait a second. The first 15 minutes, I've got, you know, John Stewart show going on. I've got a guy speaking kidnapper with a mask over his head. And it's probably about this point you're nudging your son or daughter and saying, are we in the right place? But you are. You're in the right place. And as Peter said, we've been in a rhythm of really dealing with some very heavy topics. And so we're just going to kick back and have some fun in the midst of this series. And at the same time, continue to challenge ourselves on the journey of what it looks like to relate to each other in a healthy way. So before we go further, let's pray. And God, I just want to thank you for fun. I want to thank you for creativity, for humor, for all the things you use as gates to really open us up to receive from you. And so I pray that in the balance of our time, God, that we would continue to receive from you. We would receive truth from you. God, you care about us. You love us. You want us to be in healthy friendships. And so I pray that today you would teach us all. In Jesus' name, amen. So RIQ, relational intelligence quotient. In this series, we're talking about how to relate to each other in healthy ways, because Jesus was very clear about one thing. There are times when people would come to him and say, hey, if you take this whole Bible and could sum it up, how would you do that? How would you sum it up? And they would do that to kind of put him on the spot. But he really wasn't fazed by this, because he went back to this Old Testament verse, this Old Testament concept, and he just brought it right back into the modern day. And he said, hey, you can sum it all up in really two statements. He said that part of it is about loving God, this vertical relationship with God, and loving him and understanding how he loves us. And he said, and the rest of it can be summed up by what does it look like to love each other, this horizontal dynamic. And so this series is a horizontal series. It's really about what does it look like to love each other and to relate in very healthy ways, because life is lived in the context of relationships. You think about it. Mother's Day is today. So if it's a mother-child relationship or father-child relationship, if it's a marriage relationship, dating relationships, our friendships, the people that we work with, if we're in school, the people who we engage with in school, teams that we might be on, life is lived in the context of relationships. And so the Bible has a lot to say about that. And we also know at Crossroads that this idea of seeking to understand who Jesus is and then following him is also lived out in the context of relationships. You know, we have some things at Crossroads that we call hills we die on. These are things that we believe to our core need to be a part of a biblically functioning community, and we will not compromise in these areas. And one of them for us is doing life together. Doing life together. For some of us, that looks like small groups that we might be a part of. People who have been in consume groups. We went through a series a couple of months ago as a church, and everybody got into small groups as a part of that. And some of those groups are continuing to meet. I'm meeting with mine. We're doing life together in those small groups. People in community groups, groups that meet here on site. And those groups, again, are for people to connect and grow to the next place. Spiritually, sometimes it's really about a social connection, that people are kind of in the same life phase as you. But we know that if we're going to grow and get all that God has for us, this is a great context to start. But we also want to integrate into our lives places where we're getting a little bit deeper with people, where we're getting to be known in relationship, and we're knowing a little bit more about those that we're doing life with. Serving teams, same thing. Everything from the coffee to the info center to the people who will help you get free CDs are people who are doing life together in community with each other. They're building relationships. And so in this series, we're looking at how do we do that healthily, because sometimes that's pretty easy. Some relationships come pretty easy. I would argue very few come naturally, but some come easier than others. And then there are those others in our lives that are just tough. They're just hard to deal with, but the Bible has a lot to say about that, and so we're exploring that in the midst of this series. And today is about giving and receiving truth to our friends. Giving and receiving truth to our friends, and we're going to look at a collection of wisdom, some verses from that called the Book of Proverbs in the Bible, and what that has to say about giving and receiving truth. Now I'm going to share some things that have been playing out in my life in the idea of giving and receiving truth as well. But before we do that, I want to invite our first impressions people to come up, and we're going to take up an offering now. This is a time for us to be generous to the things that God's doing around here. Creativity like we experience on the weekends. Things like Go Cincinnati next week where we can go out and be a blessing to our city. But if you are here for the first time, I want you to know you're our guest. And we're just glad you're here. When this disc gets passed, you can just slide it right to the next person, continue to relax. We're just glad you're here. But while we take up the offering, we're going to take a look at some people who are struggling to receive truth. Because sometimes we're in positions and situations where it's hard for us to receive that truth. How many people watch American Idol? All right. What are they down, like the final five or something?
Three?
Yeah, I don't know, because I don't watch it when it gets to the good people. I like watching those people though. I clear my schedule to watch those people, man. You know what? My wife and I laugh. I know it's sick. I know it's sad. You can pray for me when you leave. But I just love to see those people embarrass themselves. But it is sad, because what that tells me is there's no one in their life willing to speak truth to them. There's no one willing to say, hey, you know what? This might not be for you. In the 80s, there was a common saying, friends don't let friends drive drunk. You guys remember that? Some of you remember that statement? Right, well, here's a new one for you. Friends don't let friends try out for American Idol when they can't sing. I mean, just tell them. There's someone in your life, you know they can't sing, and they've hinted at trying out for American Idol. Just tell them no. Just tell them no, because if not, we'll be making fun of them next year. So just do that. But we look at that and we can laugh at it. It's funny. But have you ever done anything just as crazy in your life because there was no one speaking truth to you? How many times has this happened to you? You've made a poor decision. Everyone want to own up that some of our decisions have been poor. And after the decision, friends and family come to you and they say things like, well, I wanted to tell you that that probably wasn't good for you, but I didn't know how to put it. Like, anybody ever had that happen? Yeah. It's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. It's one of the reasons why before I come up, I always do a zipper check. You guys got that right away. Yeah, because I remember one time I was in front of a training class and it was a long day. It was like 8 hours, breaks in between. It was only at the end of the day where someone had enough courage or care to come up to me and tell me that I had taught the whole day with my fly open. So do I say thank you? Like, is that good? I don't know. But, we have these times in our lives where in the absence of someone who can speak truth to us, we all have done some crazy things. I know for me, my first year in Cincinnati was one where I was just really isolated, not in community. And because of that, I made some of the worst financial decisions. I made some very terrible personal decisions that year that I have to deal with them today. And it's challenging because I wasn't in a place where anybody could speak truth to my life. No one knew me well enough to speak truth to me. And that's why this time last year, there was a trend in my life that I noticed and I knew I had to change it. Because what I realized is I was a mile wide in friendships, but an inch deep. And I would look at my calendar and I would see all of these lunches and breakfast scheduled with new people. So, let's get with this person for breakfast, try to get to know them a little bit, and let's have lunch with this person, and, let's do this after hours thing to try to get to know these people better. And again, it was this mile wide in relationships, but only an inch deep. And I knew from my previous experiences that that was a dangerous place for me to stay. And I knew I had to do something about it. So I reached out to some guys that I trust and respect. And I said to them, hey, I need to be intentional about being in relationship with you. I need us to have enough continuation in our relationship. And you need to spend enough time with me that you can speak truth to my life. And I can encourage you in the same way. And that was the formation of a small group of guys that I still meet with. And I went to some of my spiritual mentors, people who have been along the road a little bit and have some wisdom. And I said, I need to make a regular point of being on your schedule so that we can exchange thoughts and I can just tell you what's going on in my life and you can encourage me and you can speak hard truth to me, because I don't want to be in a place where no one can speak hard truth. And let me say that for some of us, you hear that mile wide and inch deep and you're like, yeah, you know what? That's exactly where I want to stay. The reason I want to stay there is because this whole truth thing has been abused for me. I've been in situations, I've been in friendships where I gave people that permission to speak hard truth and they burned me, Chuck. And so I don't want to go there again. And unfortunately for some of us, that might have even happened in a context of church, where in the name of giving you truth, what really people wanted to do was just tear you down and just criticize you. I've had that happen to me. I know that that's one of the things that keeps us at arm's length from people. For others of us, maybe you were in one of these one-sided truth-telling friendships where for some reason they never had a problem telling you truth. I mean, they always had something to say to you. They long list of things that they would want to challenge you on. But as soon as the tables were turned, as soon as it was you trying to maybe question the decision that they made, all of a sudden they got defensive. Or they got angry. Or they got invisible. And then it was like 4 weeks later and they call you and tell you they're mad about this little thing you said in a conversation that you don't even remember. Right? Been in one of those friendships? If you're next to that person, you might want to just nod to yourself. But we've all been in these situations, and I know that this idea of truth can be abused. At the same time, I know that we need people who can speak hard truth to our life. When I engage with those guys, when I engage with my spiritual mentors, I was doing that because of a principle that I saw in the Bible. And it's in Proverbs 27:17, where it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man or woman sharpens another. As iron sharpens iron, so one man or woman sharpens another. And what this is talking about is back in that time, many of the weapons for war were made of iron. And what would happen is over use and over time, they would become dull. And the way that they would sharpen those tools to get them battle ready again is it was iron sharpening iron. It was this idea of friction. And through friction, a better blade would produce and those weapons would once again be battle ready. And this is saying that in the same way, you need friends where this is happening. It's great to have relationships where you have fun, but you need some iron sharpening iron in your friendships. There need to be some friends who are causing friction in your life because they're challenging you and they're stretching you and they're encouraging you to grow beyond where you are as iron sharpens iron. And I know that I needed that in my life. And so I went to these guys and I said, I want us to have this iron sharpening iron friendship. I want to be in an iron sharpening iron small group. I want to be in an iron sharpening iron mentoring relationship with you so that I can grow. We all need that. And so today is really about how do you do that? How do you nurture truth telling in your friendships? And I want to give you a quick litmus test before we go further on where you are on this right now. Two questions that I think get to the heart of how you doing on this one. The first question is this. In the last 3 months, has a friend delivered some hard truth to you? Maybe they challenged the decision that you made. Maybe they called into question how you were treating a spouse or a dating relationship. Or maybe it was this hard truth of encouragement, this hard truth that says, hey, there are things that you can be achieving that fear is keeping you from. I see it in you and I'm going to call it out in you in the last 3 months. Yes or no? Has anyone spoken that kind of hard truth to you? And the second question is this. In the last 3 months, have you delivered that kind of hard truth to anyone else? Now, here's what I know. If you answered no to either of those two questions, and especially if you answered no to both, I know that your growth is being stunted. I know that there are areas you could be growing in that you're not because no one knows you closely enough to speak truth into your life to help you grow in areas that are blind spots for you. I know that you might be able to grow to love your friends differently and to learn to love them more effectively, even if it means delivering hard truth. But if you're not willing to go there because you're afraid of upsetting the apple cart in the friendship, that friendship is stagnant. And therefore, the growth of those friends is stagnant. So yes or no questions, the litmus test is very clear, but here's what I want you to know today. There is hope because the Bible is very clear about how to nurture truth-telling in our friendships. And we're going to look at another passage in that same chapter of Proverbs that really gets to this idea of truth-telling. And I'm going to be reading it from the New Life version of the Bible. When you come to Crossroads, if you've been here before, and like the previous verse, you'll see in parentheses after a passage from the Bible, NIV. And NIV stands for New International Version. It's one of the modern versions of the Bible. Basically, the way to think about all those new versions is they all come from the same core text. They all come from the same ancient text. But people have made some translation choices in how they word that for today's language. And so sometimes there are little nuances between those that kind of highlight key points. And I like the New Life Version of what we're going to read in Proverbs because it kind of picks up on this idea of sharpening again. So Proverbs 27, this time verses 5 and 6, where it says this, sharp words spoken in the open are better than love that is hidden. The pains given by a friend are faithful, but the kisses of one who hates you are false. Let me read that one more time. Sharp words spoken in the open are better than love that is hidden. The pains given by a friend are faithful, but the kisses of one who hates you are false. Well, when I read that the first time, I'm like, okay, there's a little bit of a contradiction there. Sharp words are better than love. Okay, sharp words hurt. How could that be better than love? Okay, the pains given by a friend are faithful. One other translation says wounds from a friend can be trusted. Do I want my friends wounding me? All right, how am I to interpret this? But what this is saying is, even though it feels like this, sharp words from a friend oftentimes are the most loving thing they can give to us. Sometimes, even though it might wound in the moment, them having the love and the courage to speak those words to us will help us to grow. And so there are two concepts, two ideas I want you to take from these passages. And we're just going to go back to them and kind of dig out these things. The first is this, that truth-telling friendships are essential for growth. Truth-telling friendships are essential for growth. And I've learned that through a relationship that's really framed my growth for the last 19 years of my life. And that's my relationship with my oldest brother. His name is Harvey, but we all in the family call him Skip. I don't know why. Doesn't make any sense. But, you know, Mother's Day, you probably got some of that in your families too. So Skip, my oldest brother. And the way that I would describe our relationship is that it's been like learning to eat Brussels sprouts. You know, Brussels sprouts, I don't know how you are on Brussels sprouts. I like them now. I didn't like them when I was younger. Didn't want to try them. But Brussels sprouts kind of are bitter when you eat them. But you know what? There's no denying that they're good for you. And my relationship with my brother was that way. I remember being a little kid. And my brother was 21 when I was born, because he's 21 years older than me. And so he was kind of out of the house. He had moved to Pittsburgh. And I would see him mainly at holidays and other family events. And I remember my brother was a great guy, and I remember just knowing he really loved and cared about our family, but for whatever reason, it seemed like he was just especially hard on me. And it seemed like when we would have interactions, he was always challenging me or calling out something in me or correcting me, and I just remember it was like Brussels sprouts. Like, I don't really dig that. I don't really know that I want to spend a whole lot of one-on-one time with him. And our relationship, Skip and I's relationship, was probably like that for most of my childhood. But it changed when I turned 13. And when I turned 13, my brother began to correspond through a series of letters to me. And he began to reveal some truth to me that he saw. He began to tell me about the potential he saw in me. Some things that I may not have even seen in myself, didn't see in myself at the time. And he also began to open my eyes to the way the world works. Began to open my eyes to some truth around some principles that needed to be a part of my life if I was going to succeed and grow. And even though he probably didn't say it like this in the letter, he saw some unrefined or some unchallenged and untested behaviors that I really needed to be challenged on, some truth that I needed to hear. And so through a series of letters, my brother began to call some things out in me, and he began to write letters to me about things like work ethic and honesty and integrity. And I remember him sending me a letter. I'm 13 years old. He sent me an article from the paper about the SAT. I'm 13. I don't know anything about the SAT. But what he was doing was priming the pump, and he wanted me to know how important this was and what this meant for my college aspirations and how to begin thinking about the SAT and studying for it. Age 13, he clearly was building into me and giving me truth that I wasn't receiving in other places through these letters. And one of those letters in particular really changed our relationship. It was the letter I got from him when I was 14. When I was 14 years old, I tried out for the junior varsity basketball team, Central High School, my high school, freshman in the high school, tried out for JV, and anybody who knows anything about JV knows that, you know, you should be able to make JV. I mean, it's not like varsity, you should be able to make JV. So, and I kind of had, my path was clear, you know, I went to a private school, and in the private school, I was the best athlete in everything. Best at soccer, best at basketball. So I kind of felt pretty confident that I'd be able to make this team. And sure enough, all the cuts were happening. Didn't cut me. Came to the final cut. And I don't know how it was in your school, but in every school, there's a list. And in some schools, you want to be on the list. In other schools, you don't want to be on the list, right? Well, in my school, you didn't want to be on the list. And so, of course, final cut, and I'm feeling pretty confident. I'm like, okay, you know, made it this far, and I can see kind of the role I'm going to play in the team. I was on the list. I got cut. Cut from JV. Man. Cut from JV. Come on, what's this about? And I remember being angry, sulking, going home, crying, shutting my door, didn't want to talk to anybody, didn't want to talk to my parents about it, just really, really fuming because I got cut from JV. What's that about? And I remember my mom trying to engage me a little bit, and I didn't want to talk to her about it. But later on, I guess that night, my mom had talked to my brother, to Skip. And so a couple days later, I got a letter from Skip. And that letter had some hard truth in it for me. Because what that letter really talked about was, how do you handle defeat? How do you deal with failure? My brother began to point out some of the things that he had failed at. And he began to say things like, hey, when you come to a place where you failed, you have to make a choice. And the choice you can make is, you can stay in that place of anger and frustration, or you can choose to grow. You can choose to build your skills. You can choose to try again. Doesn't mean you're going to make it next year, but you can try again. This isn't the end of the world. And it was like Brussels sprouts. Reading that letter was like Brussels sprouts, because I wanted to be on the team. I didn't want to deal with failure. I wanted to be on the team. But I listened to what he said, put some things in place, and the next year I made the JV team. As a sophomore, I made the JV team. Now, I didn't get a lot of minutes. You know, I'm not going to tell you I was a superstar. But I made the team, and I know I made it primarily because my brother spoke truth to me at a time where I could grow. And that's probably why 4 years later, 4 years after that, I decided to go to college in Pittsburgh so I could be closer to my brother and continue to invest in our relationship, because I have really developed a connection with him. And our relationship really changed when I went to Pittsburgh, because it went from my brother speaking truth to me. I still got that. I actually worked with him while I was there and had a chance to kind of be mentored by him more directly. But my brother also began to get honest with me about himself. And he began to help me see some of the struggles he faced as a man and as a husband and as a business owner, as a father. And I got to see this picture of him that was very different than the picture that I had when I was a little kid. And through that truth telling back and forth now at this point, our relationship has just continued to grow. My brother today is a primary reason why I am the man that I am. I tell him that all the time, and he knows that. I mean, such to the point that I very rarely get up here to say anything that I haven't kind of bounced off of my brother to get his perspective on it, because he means that much to me. That relationship, that truth telling friendship, was essential to my growth, and I value that in my brother Skip. And so I just know from my own experience that truth-telling friendships are essential to our growth. And I think that's why this verse is saying that it is better to have some sharp words spoken to you in the open than it would be to have some words that are never spoken in the name of love. And it's actually pains from a friend. Those truth-telling, difficult, iron-sharpening iron moments are actually better. It's better than someone telling you what you want to hear, but really they don't have your best interest at heart. The essence of that verse is that truth-telling friendships are essential to growth. Now, we get that. That's cool. It would really be sad if that's where the story ended. It would be really sad if the Bible just said, hey, here's this really important principle. Now talk amongst yourselves and try to figure that one out. You know? But that's the great thing about Proverbs in particular. It is very practical. And so the other thing that I see when I look at that verse is this verse starts to give us some picture of how we can do that. And as a matter of fact, I see a couple principles in these verses of how to nurture truth-telling in our friendships. So they're essential, but how do we begin to do that? Let's take a look at the verse again. The verse says, sharp words spoken in the open are better than love that is hidden. Sharp words spoken in the open are better than love that is hidden. The pains given by a friend are faithful. What makes those pains faithful? Why would they be faithful from a friend? But the kisses of one who hates you are false. What makes those pains faithful? Why are pains given by a friend faithful? I think it's because there's an essential trust component that this is pulling at. And it's saying, hey, pains from a friend are faithful because there are two things that a friendship does that allows truth-telling to happen. You nurture truth-telling in your friendships by getting real and giving permission. Pains from a friend can be trusted because a friend has revealed some of their pains to you. Personal vulnerability, getting real. Getting real is critical. I was having a conversation with Brian Tome this week, and Brian and I try to get together and just talk about communicating here and what we're learning, and he's challenging me to grow in areas and encouraging me, and it's cool when we get together to do that. And this week, we're just talking about how important personal vulnerability is when we communicate here at Crossroads. We just want to be real. Want to be real. We don't want to pull punches, and we don't want to be people who are inconsistent with who we are. And if you know anything about Brian, if you've been here any longer than a week, what you see is what you get, for better or for worse. What you see is what you get. Brian is very real. He's also very just vulnerable about who he is. And we were talking about that this week, and I was getting really philosophical with him. I wanted him to kind of see that I've been doing my homework, and I was reading some books, and so I was kind of getting philosophical and sharing some principles with him. And in the midst of that, Brian just cut through all my posturing and positioning, and he leans over and he looks at me and he says, Chuck, And then I flinched because he spit when he said Chuck. But then after I regained consciousness, he said, Chuck, when people get more of you, they get more of God. When people get more of you, they get more of God. And Brian is exactly right. What he was saying is personal vulnerability. When you're real about who you are, when you're real about your struggles, when you're real about your questions about God, people understand more of who God is. And I can receive that hard truth from Brian because Brian's living that out every time he's up here. And he's living that out when he's not up here. He's living that out when you see him at his house. He's living that out in other contexts. He's living that out. And so I can receive that hard truth, that challenging truth from Brian because he's modeling that. And the same is true in friendships. I mean, think about your friends. Who are the friends you're most likely to take advice from? Is it the people that you would say are posers or fakers or people who you feel like live a double life or have a double standard? Probably not. I know it's not in my life. The people I'm most likely to receive advice from are the people who've been honest with me about their pains. The people who have said, hey, I've got flaws. I've got issues. I'm not perfect. I'm growing in these areas. Those are the people that I receive truth from all day. My friends who are being honest with me, man, I'll receive truth from them all day long. Because they've proven to me to be people who see themselves honestly. And here's what I know. If they see themselves honestly, then the words they speak to me are faithful. And I can trust that those words are meant for me to see myself more honestly. And sometimes, again, it doesn't necessarily mean it's negative things. It could be positive things that they see in me that I don't yet see in myself. I haven't yet understood about myself. But if they're seeing themselves honestly, I can even receive that compliment or that encouragement more from them than from other people in my life. I can receive it because they're getting real. Now, again, this one can be abused too. You know, what I'd say is this. If in the first 3 minutes of meeting a new person, it sounds like a country song, you know that their wife left them, their dog left them, and all that. That's not what I'm talking about when I say getting real. It takes time and it takes wisdom in a relationship to get to the place where you're being personally vulnerable. And it should be a mutual thing, too. If you're the only one divulging and they're not giving anything back, that's not healthy either. So I know this can be abused, but if there's no friend who knows your full story, if there's no one who really knows enough about you to be able to speak truth and have some perspective of, yeah, this is in the ballpark based on what I know about you, well, then it's time to get real. It's time to get real because you can nurture truth telling in a friendship only when you start to get real with your friends. But you can also nurture it by giving permission. Giving permission. This is the tough one. This is the one when someone might have something to say to you that might be hard to hear. And let me just say that someone needs to have permission to speak truth into your life. If you're not being influenced by anybody, if there is no one that you're subjecting yourself to their feedback and their perspective on your life, you are on dangerous ground. I want you to hear that very clearly, that life was not meant to be lived in isolation. And if you are living an isolated life, you're on dangerous ground. There is not good in your future if you don't get to a place where you are being real and someone has permission to get real with you. So you can give permission. And I would go so far as to say that in every friendship in our lives, there is a moment of truth. There's a moment of truth, an actual moment in the friendship where there's a choice that's going to be made about where this friendship goes in the future. Maybe it's the first time a friend comes to a different conclusion based on the facts you presented about an issue in your life. You give them the facts and you say, so clearly I need to do this. And they're like, oh, I'm not sure. It's a moment of truth in that friendship. Or maybe it's the first time where you get a conversation and they are challenging you to reveal a little bit more about who you really are. It's a moment of truth. And in that moment of truth, you choose. You choose to either receive and give permission for them to get to a place to speak truth in your life, or you reject it. And if you reject it, you've put a ceiling on that friendship that oftentimes can never be overcome. And this isn't to say that in every friendship, all the time, you need to get to this place with people. But again, if there's nobody, there's no one in your life that you're doing this with on a regular basis, you're headed for trouble. A moment of truth. I had one of these moments of truth in a friendship recently, a couple weeks ago. My staff role here at Crossroads is to support community groups. And in that role, there are leaders of community groups, volunteer leaders. And so I support them and connect with them, want to make sure they have what they need, and just encourage them in their own leadership. And one of these group leaders is a woman that she and I have been connecting and building relationship. And there had just been a series of commitments that I had made to her, a series of meetings that I told her I would be at, and I had not made them. I had not followed through on my commitments. And 3 weeks ago, our friendship had a moment of truth. She sent me an email and said, hey, we need to talk. And we got together and we sat down. And she began to give me some hard truth. She began to tell me about how my choices to not follow through had impacted her ability to lead her team. And some of the damage that had been caused because of that, some of the delays and just the challenges that she was facing because of my lack of follow through on her behalf. And basically she was telling me, I'm not doing my job. Ow, you want to talk about some stuff that's hard to hear? But she was right. She was right. And she gave that truth gracefully to me. She gave it in a very, very graceful way. But I knew I, in that moment, had a choice to make. And you know what was in me. You know what was in me, because it's the same thing that's in all of us. It was in me to defend myself. It was in me to say, well, wait, if she only understood all the stuff that's going on with me personally, she'd understand. Well, wait, if she understood that there's some transition happening, well, if she understood, you know, let me explain myself. Let me defend myself. But I knew that she has the right to speak that truth to me, and she was right about what she had to say. And in that moment, I had to give permission. And I did, and I had to confess and tell her, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for those broken commitments that I've made. I have not kept my word by you. And actually, I had to go to her team a couple days later and tell them the same thing. Hey, I'm sorry. I have not done what I promised to do by you guys. That was a difficult conversation, but you know what? It was a moment of truth and a friendship that I value. Because of the leader that she is, our friendship is now at a different place. And there are things that both of us are going to benefit from because we've had that moment of truth where we could get real with each other. So the wisdom in Proverbs is pretty clear. Two things. First, truth is essential for growth. Truth is essential for growth. And the second thing is, if you want to nurture truth telling in your friendships, you can do that by getting real and by giving permission. But this isn't easy stuff to do. It isn't easy stuff to do. As a matter of fact, this is hard. This is hard stuff to do. But I tell you what, there are some people who are modeling this, and I want to call them out specifically now. There's a group of people right now who, in my opinion, are just living out this idea of putting yourself in a position to receive hard truth and then taking action on it. And it's the 300 people involved in Financial Peace, the community group that's happening on Tuesday nights and Saturday mornings. Who's in here from Financial Peace? Yes, you guys are modeling this right now. You are modeling hard truth and how to receive it and how to act on it. We went through the Consume series, and in that series, we were talking about what does it look like to not be consumed with stuff, not to be consumed with material things, but instead to be consumed by God. And one of those weeks, we focused on debt. We actually said, hey, debt is bondage. Debt is a spiritual bondage that many of us are in because of choices that have been made, situations, some in our control, some aren't in our control. But if we're at this place where we're being crushed by debt, it limits our choices, it limits our freedom. We all heard that truth, but 300 people in here took that to the next place and said, I'm going to act on that truth. And I'm going to put myself in a community of people who can speak truth to me so that I can come to a different place of freedom. Heard a staggering statistic on this group of people. 300 people in the two classes, total debt load minus their house, $11 million. $11 million. Shocking. Absolutely staggering. But guess what? That $11 million is in the room. That $11 million is actually working on getting reduced because people made a choice to come under some hard truth and to allow someone to influence them. And you know what? That $11 million won't be $11 million in just 9 weeks from now. As a matter of fact, there's some amazing stories already coming out of this group. Here's one. One woman, 4 weeks into the group, $42,000 of debt she's been able to eliminate so far. $42,000. You better clap at that. You better clap at that. 42 grand in 4 weeks because she put herself in a position where she could receive hard truth and she's making some hard decisions to get out of debt. And so here's what I want to say to the 300 people, those of you who are in here right now, I want to give you some hard truth. And I want to say it's hard truth because it might be difficult for you to receive it right now because you're in the middle of that journey. But I want you to know, in all truth, I am proud of you and I applaud you. I applaud your choice. I applaud your persistence. I applaud your diligence to work to a place of freedom. And here's what I know. I know that there is freedom on the other side of that for you. I can't wait. I don't know who it's going to be, but I can't wait to come back before this community and tell you what the 11 million turns into. Because I know that people are working that plan, and I know there's freedom on the other side of that. These are folks who said, I'm going to give someone permission. I'm going to slot myself under the influence of someone else so that I can come to a place where I can grow. I'm going to be in this truth-telling community, and I'm going to grow through that. And I am so, I'm so excited about what that means for their future. I'm so excited for what that means for their families, what that means for their kids. So friends, again, wisdom is right there for us, but wisdom is only wisdom if we do something with it. It's only wisdom if we do something with it. And I'm here to tell you, truth-telling friends, you absolutely need them. And there are ways for you to nurture truth-telling friendships in your life. And what we want to do in this series is come alongside each other and say, so how do we apply this? How do we actually take this from something that we hear that when we walk out the door, we can easily forget to something that actually we begin to incorporate into our lives? And we want to help you with that. And actually, one of the tools to help you with that is in your program. So when you came in, if you got a program, I want you to take that out and you'll take a look through the pages and you'll see something that says RIQ personal quiz. And then in bold, all cap letters, it says, don't do anything with this until Chuck tells you to. All right, so I'm telling you, take it out. I want you to look at that page. And these questions really just review what we've talked about today around giving and receiving truth. The first question is to this idea of getting real. And it says, I'm willing to let down my guard with a trusted friend and reveal private thoughts, admit failures, and share even the tough things. And all these questions are on a scale of 1 to 5. 1 is, man, I really struggle in that. I really got some work to do on that one. 5 is, my friends would say this one's all me. I am living this out in my friendships. The next question is about giving truth. Giving truth. And it says, I'm honest and consistent with my thoughts and words, even when I have a hard truth to share with a friend. You don't have to answer these right now. 3rd question is around receiving truth. I can acknowledge when someone else might be right. And can even accept the friend calling my action into question, even if it's not delivered perfectly. I know some of you are like, man, without that parenthesis, I'd be good. But man, even when it's not delivered perfectly, let me just say that truth is truth. And even if it's not, we need to act on it. So here's what I want you to do. First thing is, at some point this week, I want you to answer these questions for yourself. Just circle a number, answer those questions for yourself. But this is about truth-telling friendships. So you've got to get outside of yourself at some point. So go back to that page. If you have a pen, I want you to take a pen out. And I want you to write the name of a person who you are willing to give permission to speak truth into your life about those 3 questions as well this week. You're going to answer the questions for yourself. But the second thing is you're going to go to a friend. And you're going to ask them to shed some light on those questions for you. Now, some of us might say, hey, I don't have anybody in my life like that. Maybe you're early in the formation of a small group through Consumed. You guys are continuing to meet. Maybe you just started serving around here. And here's what I would say to you. This could be a great way to take a friendship to a new place. So maybe there's someone you kind of know them from a distance or you know them peripherally. Maybe you serve with them a little bit, but you trust them. You respect them. They're a person you'd like to get to know a little bit more. And you can go to them with these questions and say, hey, you're a person I trust and respect. You're a person that I'd be willing to get to know to the point where we can speak truth into each other's lives. So why don't we engage on these questions together? And this could be a great first opportunity to begin nurturing a truth-telling friendship in your life. Others of us, the person we put down, we know them well. They're a person who regularly has a point of speaking truth into our lives. And hopefully it's mutual and we can speak truth into their lives as well. Well, for you, you're going to have this as yet another opportunity for them to continue to help you grow. And this is what I would expect, regardless of if it's the first time you're connecting with the person or this is a person in your life. I would expect gaps. I would expect that they're not going to answer all the questions the same way that you would. And my encouragement to all of us is that gaps precede growth. And it's only when you see gaps and only when your friends love and care enough about you to speak sharp words that might point out gaps in your life that you can begin to grow in that area. And that's what we all want. That's what this whole thing is about. This whole series is about things practically that we can do to grow in our ability to in a healthy way, relate to each other. So are you guys willing to do that this week? All right. Thank you. Cool. Well, hey, let's pray. God, I'm just really appreciative of all of the truth-telling friendships you put in my life. I think about the guys in my small group and just how we're growing together and how we're challenging each other and encouraging each other, God. I can't imagine my life without that. And God, for the spiritual mentors you put in my life, my brother, other people around here, God, who are just building into me, I can't thank you enough. My life is so much more rich because those people are in my life and able to speak truth to me, God. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for the role she plays in helping me to continue to grow in this area as well. And God, I just pray, because I know this is what your desire is. Your desire is that every person in here be a person who is growing in their understanding of you and in their understanding of themselves and in their ability to love other people and to love you. And God, that happens in the context of friendship. So I pray that everyone in here has the opportunity to form or to continue to nurture a truth-telling friendship, God. I believe that's your desire for us, and we thank you for it. And we're just saying through our actions this week, we want to be people who are growing. And that's what you want for us too. Amen. That's it, guys. Enjoy the rest of your Mother's Day. Thanks for coming.